And I'd like to read just a few verses here in Acts chapter 8. It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria," beginning with verse 5, "and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed of with them, and many taken with palsies, and that they were and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city." That's quite a statement. There was great joy in that city. You know, as we think about this passage of Scripture, we're reminded that there are many different types of joy. You know, there's a certain degree, a certain kind of joy, the joy of friendship. There's a certain joy of material things. There's a certain joy of entertainment and easy life. There's a certain kind of joy of events and circumstances. But you know, none of that joy is related to this kind of joy. None of that joy is related to this kind. And the fact is, many people don't. Many people, that's the only joy that they experience. Might be fleeting. Might be temporary. But it's the only joy they know. And we are introduced here to a joy that is really amazing. I can't quite imagine, but it can a little bit, a whole city. A whole city that there wasn't just joy. The Bible says there was great joy. Great joy. I've been reading the newspaper accounts of the Welsh Revival. I picked up a book, I think it's about 700 pages, and it, all it is newspaper articles about the Welsh Revival, 1804 to 1806. And I find it very interesting because it's not written by a theologian. It's written by a newspaper writer. And it kind of has an objectivity to it that I enjoy. Most of the books on the Welsh Revival have a certain amount of, a slant that they're trying to give in their presentation of this event. And number of times, a thing that has, I'm trying to get the right English word, struck me. There we go. Okay. That struck me is that, for instance, they will talk about a song that was sung. And a lot of the songs were Welsh, so I don't even know what the English equivalent was. But once in a while, they'll give a song with an English title. And one of them that stuck out in my mind was that they're having this meeting And may not be this hymn, but it's pretty close. That the whole crowd just sang, "Crown him with many crowns. Crown him, Lord of all." And if you can put yourself into that situation, it was the words. It wasn't like people singing a hymn. It was people in the presence of the Lord and actually singing like the Lord is right there, and he was, and singing with all their might, "Crown him." You know, kind of certainly the only thing that comes close to that is the CCM singers who are making a big show. But amazing, amazing reality of God. Now, and of course, those meetings went close. In fact, many times there would be a meeting in a chapel that would go on all day long. They would have a morning meeting, they would have an afternoon meeting, and they'd have an evening meeting. And they would just blend one to another, you know. And then after it was finally dismissed at midnight or 10 o'clock or whatever, then the whole crowd would be singing on their way home. And the streets were just full of the people of God singing to God, you know. Singing to God. But I say that to say that in Samaria, the Bible says that there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in that city. Now, let's look at a little bit of context. Why there was great joy? Now, it doesn't tell us a lot, but it tells us some things in verse 6. Of course, it tells us that Philip went there and he preached Christ unto them. Christ, the Savior, risen from the dead, Savior of the world, died for the sins of the world, risen from the dead, alive, seated at the right hand of God, ready to save those that believe. And the Bible tells us the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Now, that's very significant. You know, it wasn't just some. You know what I'm saying? It gives a picture of this oneness, this great unity of people who are responding to the Bible. You know, a complete different picture than, you know, one here or one here or one here. We have this picture of the Samaritans, of course, rejected by the Jewish religion. Really lost, heathen people, and it says with one accord. And you know, one accord is certainly a different picture than what we often see. What we often see is, you know, like I say, one person responding a little bit. And maybe another person responding a little bit. And then there's this person who's responding quite a bit. But we find this great mass unity of these people responding to the Word of God. Their heart, their will is given to God. And so there, they gave heed. Now what a miracle. What a miracle. Jesus said, he that hath ears, let him hear. Do you know what a miracle it is when people hear? Do you know what a miracle it is when people don't just hear with their ears, but they hear with their heart and their mind? They hear what the Bible really says, and they heed it, they obey it, they respond to it. There was this tremendous response to the Word of God. It was powerful. And we see this picture of just the people soaking in the Bible, the truth of Christ. And it says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, in this very atmosphere, now think about the atmosphere. Think about a number of things, but I think about the Bible says that in Nazareth, Jesus did not many miracles there because of their what? Unbelief. But here was a believing crowd. Now I think you put that in the context, right? And in that believing crowd, unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. You know, there's a lot of people that have unclean spirits today. There's a lot of people that have unclean spirits. And they're unclean. They're dirty. They're defiling. They're rotten. There's a lot of people there who had unclean spirits. And they were in bondage. You know, they say Jeffrey Dahmer, when he got caught, he was so glad he got caught. That's what the newspaper said. He was so glad that he got caught. The wretched, vile things he was doing. They were even over, they were just vile to him. He was so glad he got caught, so he couldn't do them anymore. But here we have unclean spirits crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Boy. Now, just to talk about a few of this, talking about quite a crowd in this, you know, wicked city, there was a great work of God took place. And as a result, the Bible says there's great joy. You know, that is a completely different kind of joy. Than the world and much of life that people experience. In a completely different category. Joy. You know, the Bible talks about that kind of joy. A number of different places. That kind of joy is mentioned in Psalm 126. Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Israel is coming out of Babylon, where they have been for over 70 years, captives in a heathen land. A whole one or two generations had died. You know, parents, grandparents, even children had died in Babylon. Some children had died in Babylon, had never been in Israel their whole life. It was only something they were taught about. And this is great world power. And Jerusalem and Israel is in ruins. And the last thing they could ever imagine was that they could be back in the land. And the Bible says it was like a dream that God worked that they could be back in the land. But that's the setting here of the joy when God is working. When God is working. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. And our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. There's that word great. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Rejoicing. Why? Result of the sheaves. Result of the harvest. The spiritual harvest. Souls coming to the Lord. You know, I think time flies here, but, you know, a couple years ago, we had a little series about soul winning. And the premise of the whole series on soul winning was that if you will give your life to try to be a soul winner, your life will change. Your life will change. I think I put it in different terms, but I can't remember what those terms were. And you know, I can distinctly remember a young person catching a little bit of that fire. And taking the gospel, and I think even the setting was Culver's. And witnessing, and young people listening, and thinking about it. I can still remember the comment. It was something like, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is just absolutely wonderful. There's nothing like it. Isn't that amazing? Because there isn't. There is nothing like being in the middle of the work of God. There's nothing like it. There's no match. There's no match anywhere in life to the joy of being able to talk to people about Jesus Christ and see their heart opened And even farther above that is when someone gets saved. Genuine conversion. And then you get to be a part of it. See that life changing. There's no greater joy in all the world. The city was filled with great joy. Isn't it amazing that isn't it obvious, sad, horrible, how Satan will get people off the track and they will miss the most important reality of life. And Christians, the best that they can do is have friendship Christianity. You pat my back, I pat your back. But no reality, the greatest joy of all of life, seeing the gospel permeate, seeing the gospel liberate. The miracle of the new birth. Isn't it amazing? The miracle. I mean, it's just amazing when you think of the miracle of the new birth. You tell someone the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they, in repentant faith, trust Christ, and they're born again. I mean, they're changed. I mean, just like that. There's no explanation. It's the most amazing thing. Joy. That city was filled with that kind of joy. Now you think about that. Think of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost." They received, you know what? What happened in Thessalonica? The Apostle Paul, he gets his typical jail visit, you know what I mean? Gets beat up and he gets kicked out of town, and anybody who's associated with him is going to be afflicted and be in trouble. And what does it say? They received the word with much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost. Wow. Joy. You know, the world doesn't know anything about that. And a lot of Christians don't know anything about that. The joy of receiving. Can you imagine the joy? You know, they didn't care. They were so joyful. I'm sure they didn't care if they got, you know, whipped. They didn't care if they got knocked on the side of the head. They didn't care what they did to them. They were just in the rapture of joy of having received Christ and the new birth. And then notice what the Apostle Paul says in chapter 2. And he is saying in verse 18, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." He said, "Man, I wanted to get back to Thessalonica. I wanted to get back to these people who received the word of God with joy. In affliction. They weren't afraid. They were joyful. And then he says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? You know, in his reflection of the church at Thessalonica and their reception of the word of God, there was a joy in his heart that could not be taken away. There was a joyfulness that was so real because of just participating in the work of God in their lives. But then he reflects on, but you know what? When we stand before God, you know what's going to be our joy? He said in the Thessalonians, you. You're going to be our joy. Your souls will be our joy. Isn't it amazing? You see, that kind of joy is connected to eternity. The fancy, weak, foolish, at best, yummy, jummy joy of this world is temporary. And it won't be up there. In fact, I think a lot of the joys of this world will be regrets. But he said, you're going to be our joy. He's going to be our joy. Great joy. You know, doesn't matter what happens in life. You could still be a part and have in your life something that's very wonderfully joyful. And that is the joyful reality of being able to share the gospel. Talking to people about Jesus Christ. Being in the right place at the right time. Joy. And then, it's even greater when in that whole process, there's a soul that really comes to Christ. But can you imagine in this city, this great city as a whole, the Bible says, with one accord gave heed. Isn't that amazing? They were just ripe for the picking. It's kind of interesting that when Jesus was at this city a number of years before that, and the woman at the well got saved, the Bible tells us this great crowd of men got saved. Here's a city that is ripe for the picking, you know. You know, there's some pretty tough mission fields in the world. But I just wonder what it's like to be in the Philippines. One of the great places in the world where people are responding to the gospel by the scores. I wonder what it was like being in Korea in the early 50s when thousands of Koreans came to the Lord. Thousands of Koreans. It was just ripe for the picking. That's just unbelievable reality. Imagine the joy in that city. These people released from unclean spirits. You know, delivered from addictions. Delivered from just all the filth of this world. Free! New people. So as we think about this tonight, I wonder, have you ever experienced the joy of being a soul winner? Ever experienced the joy of being a person given to giving out the gospel? They that sow in tears. Yeah, you know what? There's a price. There's an agony. There's a hunger. There's a sense of weakness. There's a sense of impossibility. There is the sense of inadequacy. There is all the fears of man. I mean, there's a price. The Bible says the real price is a broken heart. There's a real price, broken heart. A broken heart for souls. You know what's the opposite of broken heart? Hard heart, isn't it? You know, the world makes people's hearts hard, doesn't it? You know, these things of the world that people are striving for, that they're trying to get joy from them. You know what? What it really does, it is just hardens their heart, doesn't it? Hardens their heart. But you know, the Bible is inferring here, to be a part of this soul winning thing, our heart has to be broken, has to be softened. A completely different pursuit of life. You know, maybe you were one of those young people and you were letting God work in your life, and for the first time in your life you had the joy of talking to someone about Jesus. Did you forget how great that was? Is there anything that matches that? You know, $1 million doesn't match that. A new car doesn't match that. A new truck doesn't match that. There's something whole, it's a whole different world, isn't it? Great joy filled that city. Let's pray together. Lord, the devil's a liar. The world's a liar. It's empty. It's empty, empty, empty. The real joy in life, the real joy is being connected with eternity, being connected with the Savior, with the gospel, being connected with delivering people from sin, being connected with the eternity. It's a marvel, Lord, that you want to use earthen vessels. It's a marvel. And Lord, even tonight we are reminded that unless we purpose, Lord, to make our life count for you, to get out the gospel, our life can be so full that we'll spend our life without the real joy that only comes when we're connected with the wonderful, wonderful gospel and the Savior who still saves souls. Oh God. Oh God. In your mercy, open our eyes. Open our eyes to what really is the real thing. Lord, help that precious soul, that Christian, who maybe even at one time had a little sense of the absolute unbelievable joy of being able to share the gospel. And have God work in their lives, God leading them, God molding them, God changing their life. And that's only in the past. They've walked away from it. Lord, help them to come back to you. May you work in our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is seeking to bring you back to the joyful life. And you're willing tonight to admit that a lot of things have gotten in the way. Maybe even some sins. Maybe even those sins are real right now because you can see what they've taken away. But you've walked away from the joyful life and God's calling you back. A life of witnessing. A life of being a vessel for the God of heaven, to be a part of sharing the gospel. And you say, Pastor, God spoke my heart. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to come back to the joyful life. And God is speaking to your heart, and just by an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken to me in a very definite way. Amen. Okay, praise God for some hands. Amen. Important hands. Anyone else? Okay. Praise the Lord. Coming back to the joyful life. Lord, thank you. For working. Might you be glorified. Show yourself, Lord. Oh, God. Help these dear, precious souls, whatever it takes to get back to that pathway, to reorganize their life, to refocus, become people of brokenness, prayer, agony, compassion. Lord, we will rejoice. And Lord, we pray, praise you and give you the glory for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.